keep my cool, but I'll be there. I try to say goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near.
Says, I wonder if it's the same Dawn Haywood that I used to work with at Staining. One of my hair salons was down the road from it, Halo Hair Design on Carshalton Road. It always looked uninviting to me, she says. She didn't like the look of it. Giovanni Pinto, I used to look after the owner of this house about 9 years ago when I did care work. Lovely family, the Powells, they were called. Never heard it being called the Doll's House, nor do I ever recall them mentioning any ghostly goings-on or anything out of the ordinary, and they had lived there for many years. Joanne Maria says, used to walk past every day on the way to school. Lovely house. I used to think whoever lived there was rich. That's fabulous.
I wish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you did say that you wish you'd not sold it. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Deborah Haig says, I've always thought that the house looked a bit spooky, and I'll tell you why. My family moved into number 33 Carshalton Road in May 1962. I was just 6 years old. I lived there until I was married in 1976. In 77, my husband and I bought the house off my parents. I had my three children whilst there, and it was one of the nicest streets you could ever wish for. I stayed until approximately 1992, and I eventually sold and moved to another area of Blackpool. 30 years on the same street, and I can honestly say that in all that time, I never saw anyone leave or enter that house. So she must have thought it was very spooky. No one ever came or went. Isn't that odd? Shirley Pendleton says, I'm sure my key worker, Eunice, used to live there, who she says she's not in contact with anymore because I did ask. And Karen Burkett says, a family who lived there, not sure if they still do, sadly lost their son when they went to the sea to get his dog out. His friend followed and both sadly lost their lives. This would have been around 2002 or 2003. Do you remember that as a news story locally?
Was that when the dog drowned? Did they?
Yeah, there it says
in the sea.
They lost their son. The family who lived there sadly lost their son when he went into the sea to get out his dog, and his friend followed, and they both drowned.
Yes.
And I assume the dog did as well. You remember that?
I do remember that, yes. There was another occasion, I can't remember the year, I'm sure Paul would remember, when two policemen also lost their lives going in to rescue a man who also lost his life because he was rescuing his dog and the dog survived.
Oh, wow.
And after that, the policemen were told they should not go in after someone who was drowning in the sea, that they should, you know, they should not do it. It used to get very rough there at times, you know, in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, quite amazing. Isn't it funny that, you know, you remember that story and actually that you have that connection to that house, right?
Yes.
Amazing stuff, really is. Oh, Joanne Jackson says, always caught my eye when walking past. And Philip Hamnett says, I live on Bedford Road, walk past there a lot. I love this house. It's amazing to see... it's amazing as well to see the diversity of wealth in the housing in the area. Was it like that when you lived there? Was it kind of a...
Not so much. You see, there are quite a lot of large houses there. Old houses, of course, you know. And quite a few of them used to do bed and breakfast, that sort of thing, you know. But I don't... The only one I knew at the time that was actually in flats was the house opposite where the old lady lived. And I think her son had split the house for her, you know. So she lived downstairs and upstairs had been made into another flat. But that was the only one that was actually in flats as far as I can remember.
So why did you ever talk about converting it into flats?
No, never thought about it.
No? It wasn't that common that people did that.
Well, I think there were. I think it was just beginning, really. It was just beginning, you know.
Mm.
And most people that turned them into flats, I think they were made into holiday flats.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, short-term rents.
Okay, so Steve Lomas says, I used to live next door. I used to live next door but one to here.
Steve Lomas.
Yeah.
He was a friend of Paul's, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes,
was. Oh, wow.
And he's replied, has he?
Well,
amazing.
He's commented on the photograph of the house. I used to live next door but one to here at number 43 Carshalton Road in the 60s.
Yes. Well, it was his mother that I phoned to ask if there was anyone living in the house, yes.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He says, knew a lad that lived there and remember being in the cellar in a group copying the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Well, you see, it was quite a small cellar and the entrance, you entered from the backyard. The entrance wasn't in the house.
Mm.
So Paul more or less had the cellar as his den.
Oh, wow.
And Steve was one of his friends, yes.
Oh, is that fabulous? Oh, Steve, I hope you're listening. I'll have to make sure I comment on that.
Yes.
Well, what's this reference?
You'll have to tell him that, of course, Paul that is in Scotland now still training dogs?
Well, Steve, I'll point you in the direction of one of the earlier episodes, which you'll find where we talk about, I think it's called The Road Less Travelled. It's about Paul. It's an interview with Paul. And you can hear all about Paul's story by jumping on that. So, and thank you very much for your comment. Oh, wonderful, Millie. It's just so nice to see people engaging with that. And I think, look, for me, beside the story about Nanny, I think one of the most insightful things is the one where you talk about the old lady that you used to go and have a cup of tea with on the house on the opposite corner, who just, you know, for anyone who likes local history or you know, tracing family history, what an interesting bit of information that is about that lady herself.
And yes, having all
that, you know, that.
I can't remember her name, unfortunately.
Well, when I was looking and I was trying to decide which house on which corner was which, I actually had to go back and listen to the episode and your description to work out which house it was. Worked out, of course, it was, because actually the other one on the corner is smaller, on the opposite corner where she lived.
Yes.
It's smaller.
The ground is lower, isn't it? The house isn't set up high.
No.
On the opposite side, it's more level with the street.
It is, and I think it's two stories from, well, maybe it's not two stories. I have to have another look. But she, it does look a little bit sort of, look, it's been there a long time. It's got a bit of a spooky look about it. But yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Millie, and thanks to all of the listeners. And please, we ask you to join the Mondays with Millie Facebook page, where we share photos and things and memorabilia there. Go on, Millie.
I was going to say, have I quickly time to tell you about my father's ghost story?
Oh, yes, yes, go ahead. Oh, we've got, yes, absolutely, go for it.
Well, in the early 20s, he came back from being in, you know, in the war, and he went back to work for his old firm as the in charge of accounts there, and that was fine. But he wanted to earn extra money, so he decided to take a second job. And he had two jobs. Each of them only lasted one night, can you imagine? Anyway, this particular job was in the telephone exchange. And in those days, of course, they had these small telephone exchanges in different areas, and it was very antiquated. You know, I don't know if you've seen on films, people plugging sort of leads into different switchboards and whatnot to contact people. Anyway, the first night he was there, he had to go to this house, and this was held in an old house, and he was told that there was a guy there who was showing him how to work the switchboard and everything. And then something went wrong and they got cross lines. So he said to my father, you'll have to go down into the cellar. And he said, the leads go down and they have lead weights on or something like that, if I remember rightly. And they get crossed, so you have to just unhook it. So my dad went down into the cellar, and of course it was gaslight in those days, not very well lit at all. And he went in with this lamp, you see, into the cellar. And when he got down there, he said there was a chap sat there at a switchboard thing. And he took no notice of him. So my father spoke to him and he said, you know, I've come to release some lines or something. Still ignored him, didn't say anything. Anyway, Dad saw where the problem was and he sort of unhooked this thing. And he went back upstairs and he said to this guy, I think it's sorted now, he said, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't work with him all evening. So he said, who's that? He said, that guy downstairs, he said. He said he was not very polite. In fact, he never spoke to me at all, just completely ignored me. And this guy just said, oh, well, why do you think I sent you down? That is absolutely true.
So what was there a backstory about who they thought that
So was? My dad didn't go back working anymore.
Oh, really? Oh, that was one of the one-night jobs, was it?
That was one-night job. Oh. So then he got it. I'll just tell you this. And then he got another job. And he saw this advert in the paper that it was a gentleman's club which needed a secretary. So he thought, now that's for me. I can do that, you see. So he wrote off to this box number, and he got a reply back within a day or two, actually, and said, you know, to go along on this particular evening. So he did. He knocked on this door, and this guy invited him in. And he sat down with two or three men, and they talked to him. And he said he noticed after they were all Irish. But he didn't think much about that because there were a lot of Irish people in Manchester. So they said he had to sign this paper to say it would all be confidential and, you know, all the rest of it. And so he did. He signed up. And they said he could sit in on this next meeting. So the new meeting was going to be the following evening. So that was that. And he thought, well, yes, I'll go to this meeting. So he did go to the meeting the following night and left. He made a few notes and then he left. But he left his notes behind. And it turned out he'd signed up, he'd joined the Sinn Féin. And he didn't realise the first night, you see. So after that, he didn't go back again, and they came knocking on the door for him. His mother said that two men have been looking for you, two Irishmen. What's going on, you know? So he had to tell her then what he'd done. And she said, you're a very stupid boy, you know. So they came again looking for him. And so she said to them, I don't know why you want my son, but you do know he's a bit simple. And she said, he gets into all sorts of scrapes and he doesn't really know what he's doing. And that was the end of that.
So she got him out of it.
Yeah, but he was pretty scared. So after that, she said, stop bothering about getting a second job. Just you make do with what you're earning, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
That was the end of his career, yeah, in the evenings, yeah.
And a very short-lived membership of Sinn Féin.
Yeah, Sinn Féin, yeah. He was scared for quite a while.
Well,
you know,
even then, yeah. I guess, you know, they probably had a fearsome reputation, really. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, that was that.
All right.
So it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you everybody who's replied and talked about Carshalton Road, 47 Carshalton Road, because I really loved living there. I really did.
Yes, absolutely, and likewise for me. Thank you to everybody for joining us this week on Mondays with Millie, and we hope to see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Games, changes and fears. When will they go from here? When will they stop? I believe that fate has brought us here. We should be together, babe. But we're not. I play it off, but I'm dreaming of you. And I keep my cool, but I'm beating. I try to say goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear, my world crumbles when you are not near. of your love. And I may seem alright and small when you leave, but my smiles are just a front, just a front. Walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Goodbye and not show. Try to walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Here is my confession, may I be your possession. Boy, I need your touch, your love, kisses and such. With all my might I try, but this I can't deny, deny. I played it off, but I'm dreaming of you. But I keep my cool, but I'm beaten. I try to say goodbye and choke. Try to walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not near. Goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble, though I try to hide it.